Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Child-Free Guide to Life and Money. Make your finances simple so your life without kids can be amazing. By Jay Zygmunt, PhD, MBA, CFP. Narrated by Jonathan Todd Ross. Introduction. If you are child-free or permanently childless, this book is for you. Your life and finances shift when you don't have kids and aren't planning on having kids. It does not matter if it was by choice or not by choice. Your reason for not having children is yours alone. In its simplest form, some people connect being child-free with those who choose not to have kids and being childless with those who didn't choose this life. Unfortunately, this dichotomy is overly simplistic. In reality, there is a continuum of terms and beliefs around children, ranging from those who are childless not by choice, CNBC, to those who are antinatalists. From my perspective, where you are on the continuum has minimal impact on your financial plan. I am going to use the term child-free throughout this book. While there is still considerable debate about which word to use for non-parents, I chose child-free because that is the term my wife and I use. But feel free to substitute whatever term you prefer. The term isn't what matters. What matters is the impact that comes from not having kids. When you are child-free, you have thrown out the standard life script and are in somewhat uncharted territory. There is more about the life script in Chapter 2, but this is the societal notion that you need to go to school, get married, buy a house, have kids, retire, pass on your wealth, and so on. The life script is built into our culture, religion, taxes, finances, government, and more. Deviating from the life script can cause you difficulty in relationships, but it also allows you to make completely different choices with your life. Living a life of child-free wealth means you have the time, money, and freedom to do what you want. Being child-free does not automatically make you rich. Income disparities still exist. The difference is that child-free people can follow their passions, even if those passions do not lead to giant net worth figures. If we want to open up a cupcake shop, which isn't that profitable, we can. If we want to travel the world or be a nomad, we can. But beware that being child-free may mean so much flexibility that we get stuck in analysis paralysis from having too many choices. With flexibility and choices in mind, this book starts by helping to outline what it is like to live a child-free life and how to make the most of it. While many other financial books may start with finances so you can retire and enjoy your life, being child-free flips that. Being child-free means that you can live the financial independence live early, FILE or FILE, lifestyle that focuses on the right work at the right time and that means something to you. It means more options earlier in life, including taking a sabbatical, embracing the gardener and the rose system, which I'll explain later, and even challenging bedrock ideas like needing to buy a house. The book's second half dives into how being child-free changes your finances and how to reach your goals. It starts at the end of your life with the realization that if you don't care about passing money on to the next generation, your entire financial plan changes, much akin to the concepts from the book Die with Zero by Bill Perkins. I dive deep into common financial and life fears, including the bingo question, who will take care of you when you are older? I aim to keep your finances and financial plan simple so your life can be extraordinary. A note about privilege and understanding where you are. I acknowledge my own privilege and the fact that everyone struggles with money differently. I grew up broke, but I was able to learn about finances and succeed financially. It was a rough road for me at times, and it is even harder for other people. I outline here a process to take control of your own finances and make them fit your life when kids aren't part of the picture. Where you start will likely impact where you end, and if you are able to live and give generously. The key is to keep your focus on the improvements you have made and not on where you may be falling short. I freely admit that my personal financial plan is not perfect, and I've made more than my fair share of mistakes. We all need to have grace for both ourselves and others, in addition to acknowledging our own privilege throughout this journey. How to use this book. While you are welcome to listen to this book from start to finish, you may get more out of it by using each chapter as a reflection tool to help create your own life and financial plan. If you use the book as a framework, you will first identify the life you want to live, then create a financial plan to get there, and finally, make sure you don't pay more taxes than you have to. This book is a bit of a choose-your-own-adventure book. Since child-free people do not all follow the same script, it was nearly impossible for me to outline a linear path for everyone. There will be chapters that fit you and ones that don't. Skip the ones that do not apply right now. You may come back to them later, and that is okay. Throughout the book, you will be referred to courses in the Child Free Wealth Academy. Child Free Wealth is my company, and it is a life and financial planning firm dedicated to serving child-free people. The Academy includes courses, videos, references, and group Q&A sessions via Zoom. You will need to sign up for the system first before you can use the links in each chapter. Access to the Academy is normally $50 a month, but since you bought this book, you get 1 month free with coupon code 30DAYS. Go to childfreewealth.com/academy to sign up. If you are overwhelmed, that is normal, and we are happy to help. We offer a child-free wealth checkup that does a deep dive into your life and finances. Think of it like getting a routine physical. It identifies what is going well and any areas that are concerns. You get to meet with a child-free wealth specialist and get a professional opinion, which can help you to prioritize and know about any big concerns. To learn more, visit childfreewealth.com/schedule-meeting. Part 1. Create the Life You Want. Chapter 1. Are We Weird? Are you happy with your life? Very. I love my husband, and I love the life we've created. I wish I could show childhood me what I'm up to, because I think she would be proud and think I'm a badass. I also think she would be relieved. I think she would see that while I am married, like she always expected, I don't have kids, and my life is full of fun, joy, and adventure, which she didn't expect. She would be relieved that I am healthy and happy and not a mindless drone who did what all her high school friends did. She would be proud she escaped the narrative she had been force-fed her entire life. Cecilia, 25, married. When I set out to look at the impact of being child-free on life, wealth, and finances, it started with a simple question. Are we weird? We, in this case, means my wife and me. Now, I will admit that we are probably weird in many ways. After all, we both have PhDs, and our date nights regularly include designing research studies. But is our life without kids weird? Is it weird that we don't care about how much money we pass on? Is it weird that we moved 1,200 miles on a whim for a better job? Is it weird that we can do whatever we want and not worry about anything but taking care of our two mastiffs and jerk cat. Spoiler alert. We may be weird in comparison to those with children, but next to other child-free people, we are remarkably normal. Part of the reason why we wondered if we were weird was that everyone else around us had kids or were having kids at the time. While kids were not a choice for us, my wife has a 50-50 chance of dying if she gets pregnant, which made our choice to be child-free relatively straightforward, the pressure was still there. We were happy with our life, but many others were unhappy with our choice. Here's an example. One day I was at work when one of my staff members stopped me in the hall and said, "I've been thinking about you and your wife. You are both smart and you really should have kids." We can have a separate discussion about whether this is an appropriate thing to discuss at work with your boss, but the bottom line is that my employee was putting her own judgments on us. She had three kids, and that worked for her, just as it works for us to have no kids. Most child-free people have their own stories of being judged. When you do not match the norm, people seem to feel comfortable judging you. Or worse, they ignore your life choice and assume you will change your mind. For some people, it is a choice not to have kids. Yet for others, it is not. Either way, it is easy to feel like an outlier or not fit in when you are child-free or permanently childless. Like many others, at first, I didn't even know that my wife and I were child-free, or that there was a term for it. I first saw the word child-free on Reddit when I started reading r/child-free. The r/child-free community let me know that others are out there. They have 1.5 million members. At least I now knew there was a term for us. At about the same time, I started working on the education process to become a certified financial planner. The interesting thing to me was that while the financial literature talks about not having kids yet, or having an empty nest once the kids leave the house, it never once mentions what to do if people are never going to have kids. When you look at the research, such as the 2022 study from Michigan State University, that found that 1 in 5 adults self-reported to be child-free, it is incredible that 20% plus of the United States is wholly overlooked in finance. Just how common is being child-free? Being a researcher, I had to dive deeper. I set out to read everything I could get my hands on and to talk to as many people as possible. In the end, 299 child-free people responded to my survey, and I interviewed 26, all in the United States. This research was the foundation for this book, and my first, Portraits of Child-Free Wealth, along with the framework for my life and financial planning firm, Child-Free Wealth. Warning, I will nerd out on data for a bit here. I won't be offended if you aren't a data nerd and want to skip to the next section. The first question I wanted to understand was, how many of us are out there? My initial research found a 2018 study from the U.S. Census that looks at childless adults over 55. After a deep dive into those numbers, I estimated that 11% of those aged 55 and over in the United States are child-free, defined as don't have kids and don't plan on having kids. A few years later, the Michigan State study found that 21.6% of respondents identified themselves as child-free. The Michigan study was a survey of people only in Michigan, but had a much younger population. The bottom line is that there are a lot of child-free people out there, and the percentage is growing among younger generations. The second question was about regret and happiness. It is common to hear from others that when we reach old age, we will regret being child-free. It is possible I might regret being child-free, but it is also possible that I might regret not being an astronaut, and neither is a choice for me. What did the data say? At the end of 2021, I did my own dive into how being child-free impacts life and finances. I did a survey that had 299 respondents and interviewed 25 of those who completed the survey. As part of my survey, I asked, "Are you happy with your life?" The overwhelming answer was yes. 281 people replied this way, or 94%. Respondents shared that they were happy with their life overall, and particularly their freedom. Even those who said they were unhappy were quick to say that it was not because of being child-free, but because of other issues in their life. So there are a lot of us, and we're happy. Not a bad start. But why do people choose to be child-free? It is not surprising to me, but it may be to some that child-free people put a lot of thought into their choice. In fact, 53.17% of participants had more than one reason. Here is an overview of the major reasons people choose to be child-free. Reason for not wanting children. Never wanted children, 38.13%. Finances, 30.43%. Freedom, 27.09%. Environmental concerns, 15.05%. Don't like kids, 13.71%. Medical issues, 10.7%. Mental health, 10.37%. Pregnancy concerns, 10.03%. Family issues, 9.7%. Career, 6.69%. Travel, 5.02%. No spouse, 4.01%. Infertility, 3.68%. Personal history of trauma, 1%. While each person had their own reason for being child-free, the one commonality with most of the answers has to be the amount of thought and depth that people put into their choice. I don't want to deal with the emotional, financial, and physical toll that children take. On top of that, I'm essentially infertile, making the financial aspect of having kids even greater. I see my coworkers and family dealing with life with kids and the emergencies and surprises that come along, and I'm glad I don't have to deal with that every day. In hindsight, my study was skewed toward child-free people rather than those who are permanently childless. Some of the reasons stated may not be by choice: medical, family, spouses, or lack thereof. The bottom line is still the same. The choice, or not by choice, to not have children is complex for most. Are child-free folks better off financially? The census report found that among adults over 55 in the United States, childless single women had the highest net worth, $173,800. But it wasn't statistically significant. Here are some high-level numbers from my research. Income. The median income range for child-free people was $60,000 to $89,999 in the study. In comparison, the overall U.S. median income was $54,132 for the same time period for adults. Debt. The overall percentage of child-free people carrying any type of debt was similar to that of the U.S. population overall. For example, 55% of Americans carry a balance on their credit card, compared to 53.18% of child-free people. Assets. Assets represent everything you own. Overall, there wasn't much difference, but while 65.5% of those in the United States own a home, in comparison, 55.18% of the child-free survey respondents own a home. Net worth. Your net worth is everything you own minus everything you owe. Rather than look at the median or mean net worth, it was helpful to look at the categories of net worth. Interestingly, while approximately 9% of the United States are millionaires, 13.4% of those child-free people surveyed are millionaires. At the same time, an Aspen Institute study found that 11% of the United States have a negative net worth, while in the child-free sample, it is 32.4%. There is room for a lot more research based on the financial numbers, but the bottom line is that being child-free does not protect people from income and wealth disparities. The rules do not apply. In the end, my wife and I are normal within the sample of child-free people, but far outliers in the general population. This may be true for you and many others. Since we are such outliers, general rules, especially in finance, are not likely to fit. For example, the general rule is that you need 10 to 12 times your income in life insurance. The key is that life insurance should be there to protect your income after you pass, but only if someone is relying on your income. If you are child-free and single, there is almost no need for life insurance. If you are in a couple and both of you are working, chances are you don't need life insurance either. The challenge, then, is to stop comparing yourself to others and create a life and financial plan that are uniquely yours. In finance, we love benchmarks or measures to know if we are doing good or bad. Most benchmarks assume you do have children or will have them, so they are not valid comparisons. I've found that many child-free people do not really want to retire, so even measures about how much money you should have to retire may not fit. Retirement is an option for child-free people, not a requirement. Rather than following the classic path of working 25 years and getting the watch, child-free people tend to focus on doing what they enjoy and cutting back over time. Even comparisons within the child-free community may not be helpful, as the amount of flexibility we have means we all live vastly different lives. The question to you is, what do you want to do with your time, money, and freedom? Diving deeper. For more, visit childfreewealth.com/104. Bucking the Standard Life Script. Throughout this book, I will mention the Standard Life Plan or Standard Life Script and talk about how the lives of child-free people may be different. The standard life script is the one that society, family, culture, and religion preach. It includes the following steps. 1. Go to school and get good grades. 2. Go to college. 3. Get a job. 4. Get married. 5. Buy a house. 6. Have kids. 7. Send your kids to college. 8. Retire. 9. Pass on wealth to the next generation. This plan is so ingrained in our culture that many adults play it out without even realizing. They may wake up later in their life and ask how they got there. In many cases, the standard life script becomes a bedrock assumption for financial planning. The problem with the standard life script is that if you deviate from it, you no longer fit as part of the norm. While I don't know if it was ever my goal to be normal, it can be challenging to be different. There is pressure from family and friends, culture, religion, and more to conform to the norm. Here's an example. My wife and I started with the standard life script. We went to school, got jobs, and planned to get married. My wife was raised Catholic, and I was raised Methodist. Her family wanted us to get married in a Catholic church, which I was okay with. We met with the priest to start the process, but quickly hit a snag. It turns out that to get married in a Catholic church at the time, you had to not only agree to raise your kids Catholic, but also agree to have kids, which wasn't an option for us. It did not matter that my wife was an altar server in that church. The two other Catholic churches we tried had the same answer. Ultimately, we weren't conforming to the norm, so we had to change our wedding plans and get married in the Methodist church. We have been happily married for 14 years, so it worked out. But it was quite an eye-opener. It is not only religion where the life plan is ingrained. A quick review of the tax system shows that the federal government actively supports the standard plan, marriage, kids, home ownership, etc., and ignores single people, child-free folks, and renters. In states that have laws against discrimination based on familial status, they only protect people with kids. They do not protect people without kids. Employer benefits support having kids. Maternity and paternity leave, adoption benefits, daycare, etc. And most cover only legally married couples, not long-term unmarried partners. We all need to be aware of the standard life script, as it often forms our core mental model or belief system of how life is supposed to happen. The hard part with mental models is that, for the most part, they are tacit or unconscious beliefs that we compare ourselves and others to. Even when we consciously decide to live a different life, we may find ourselves drawn back to the norm due to the power of the standard life script. The key is to be aware of our decisions and whether they are part of our own life plan or if we are just being drawn back to what's expected of us. A powerful way to cope when you are being drawn back to the standard life script is to ask yourself, whose voice is telling me I need to do this? You will find that in many cases, it is not your voice but that of your parents, culture, religion, or society. For example, buying a house is a choice for child-free and childless people, not a requirement. Even though buying a house is not actually a requirement for anyone, child-free or not, I regularly hear from people who say that they must buy a house because it is the right thing to do. This is all head trash from the standard life script that may or may not fit your own life and financial plan. There is more information about buying a house or not in Chapter 18. A special note for people who are childless, not by choice. CNBC. While much of this book fits child-free and permanently childless people equally, people who are childless not by choice, CNBC, have some unique concerns regarding shifting from the standard life script to their own plan. When you are CNBC, there is typically a need to grieve the life you thought you were going to live before you can start to envision a different life and future. If you have not made it through the grieving process yet, or are still trying to conceive, you may want to return to this book later. It is hard to envision a new life plan when you are not ready. If you are childless and still trying to work through the process, I encourage you to find a community and people who can help you through this process. I have had the pleasure of working with Katie Seppi from Chasing Creation, and she has taught me a lot about what it means to be childless. Her community is only for childless women and non-binary people, and is a supportive environment where you can grow and make your way through the grieving process.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?